Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guests today, writer Cynthia Reyes and photographer Hanlon Gray. Each week at this time, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives and ask them what prompts them to do what they do. We give them an opportunity to talk about their work and ask them to read some of it for us. Cynthia Reyes is the author of three memoirs, A Good Home, An Honest House, which won the Diamond Award for Book of the Year, and the recently released Twigs in My Hair, a collaboration with her husband, Hamlin Grange. She is also co-author of the award-winning Myrtle the Purple Turtle children's illustrated book series. A former journalist, trainer, and executive producer with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, she has won numerous awards for her television and community work and has been inducted into the Order of Jamaica, commander level, for her international impact on journalism. Hamlin Grange's beautiful photographs grace the pages of Twigs in My Hair. Hamlin had an outstanding career in media with jobs at the Toronto Star, Global TV, and primarily at the CBC, where he was an award-winning journalist. Today, Hamlin is recognized for his work in helping to create inclusive environments that value the contributions of all individuals on a team. His many awards include the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal for Community Service and the Visionary Award from the Real World Film Festival for his work in helping to change Canada's media landscape. But in his spare time, you may find him wandering through his garden or a forest, walking slowly along a country road, camera in hand, ready to shoot an interesting picture. Welcome, Cynthia and Hanlon.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Great to be here.
Well, you two, you have a very diverse background, some commonalities for sure, and now those things have come together again in the new book, Twigs in My Hair. So your gardening together had a rocky beginning, I understand, and one is still the flower gardener and the other is still the vegetable and herb gardener. Can you tell us about how you made gardening together work despite your differences?
Well, this is a man who, when I would go gaga about flowers, would often ask me, can you eat flowers? I think he found it difficult at first that I wanted to spend the family's entire budget on flowers, and while he wanted to spend the family's entire budget on vegetables and herbs. So that was the beginning. The compromise that we arrived at was that I would use the top garden, which I'll mention, by the way, had terrible soil, while he would use the lower level garden for his vegetables and herbs, which had the best sun and the best soil. And that was the first garden we had together. And I sometimes needed him to do things, and he sometimes needed my advice. Gradually over the years, we got better at this thing of working together, kind of like developing a marriage, you know?
I think we both came to the conclusion that we had our particular strengths. And my strength was I had the muscle to sort of to dig the beds, you know, and haul the earth and all of that. And she had the brains. And I think it's worked out fairly well over time. I think it's worked out pretty well.
Well, so you started with your little garden in the city, but you've made a number of different kinds of gardens over the years. So tell us something about some of your favorite gardens.
There's one place that we lived in, Brooklyn, Ontario. The city refers to it as the Blue House. It was an interesting property because it was about 2.25 acres, and it was on a ravine, and it backed onto a stream, and a creek running through it. And we had a multiplicity of rooms in this garden, okay? So the property was like one huge garden. So we had woodlands, we had, of course,
wetlands.
Vegetables, we had wetlands, we had
streams.
It was just really quite the features. I built hardscape, footbridges over the creek. You know, they were kind of rudimentary, but they worked. You know, nobody fell and broke their necks or anything, but they worked.
And I think the other one would have to be Mama's garden at the farmhouse that we had. And it was a little garden that was partly designed by her. She chose a lot of the plants for that garden. And it was just the most amazing thing. It was self-contained. You walked down a path to a stone bench, and you felt as if you were in this private world. And this was the only garden on the whole property that had both sun-loving and shade plants, woodland things, and run-of-the-mill things. And it just, everything grew so beautifully.
Yeah, it was like the United Nations of plants.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody seemed to, they kind of all got along together. I don't know why.
Maybe we should talk about the book a little bit now. What was it like producing this book together?
It was hell, I'm telling you. When I take pictures, it's not intended for public consumption, right? And so there was never really an intent to put it in a book or anything like that. So going through the process of selecting the images, it was a bit of a challenge. But at the end of the day, I got excited near the end, despite the fact I didn't want any credit. It's really a word book, you know. My pictures are nice,
oh,
but
stop.
Her words are
oh,
nice.
Oh, stop. I'm just being modest now. You know, the very first review we got was a great review from an American book reviewer. She starts out about Hamlin Grange's absolutely beautiful photographs. And it was only later she got to my words. And I couldn't believe it. So, you know, and here's a guy who didn't even want his name to be on the book cover. And then he ends up getting all the credit.
Perhaps we can hear something from the book now. Will you read to us, Cynthia?
Yes, thank you. This piece is about our never-ending problem with rabbits. So it's from chapter 7. Hamlin's built his wonderful organic vegetable garden and the rabbits have plundered it. And we heard that you could get fox urine that would keep them away. So I'm reading now. Turned out there was something called a game accessories store in a nearby town. It was a big store in a small plaza. The place was full of the weirdest stuff, everything you needed to kill something. Complete camouflage outfits, including hats, jackets, trousers, boots, and hip waders. Enough camouflage to outfit a battalion of special forces. A whole counter bristled with nasty-looking sheath knives. There were fly fishing rods and reels everywhere, everything except guns. It was mind-boggling. How could I have lived my whole life without knowing about such places? And the customers, all white and male, all much older than us, all looking very comfortable in this strange place devoted to killing things. But we felt so uncomfortable, we must have stood out like fish in a chicken coop. It wasn't difficult to catch the shopkeeper's attention. Can I help you folks? Hamlin started to speak, then stopped and looked at me for help. Well, I began, trying to phrase the words just the right way. We're told you sell fox urine? My voice trailed off, because once a woman has asked a man, a complete stranger, if he has urine to sell, there's not much more she can do. I half expected the shopkeeper to laugh. He didn't laugh. Yes, ma'am, we do. Fox urine. I stared at the shopkeeper as if he'd confessed that the whole store was a front for Al-Qaeda. A couple of men in tartan shirts and camouflage trousers lined up behind us at the counter. One carried a particularly vicious-looking knife in a camouflage holster. You do? For some reason, I didn't know what to say next. Hamlin poked me in the side, which I translated as, just go along, say thank you, and don't make a big deal about this. I'm feeling silly enough as it is. We certainly do, the shopkeeper said again, as if he sold fox urine to people every day, which of course he probably did. How much does it cost? $7 a bottle. It comes in a bottle? Sometimes my mouth has a mind of its own. What else would fox urine come in? The shopkeeper grinned. You want some fox urine, ma'am? He asked. His voice seemed very loud. The two men behind us at the counter in tartan shirts and camouflage trousers muttered something to each other. One laughed. Yes, please. The shopkeeper came back with a plastic bottle about 6 inches tall with a picture of a red fox on the label. By this time, maybe a dozen men in various articles of hunting clothing were lined up behind us. The shopkeeper handed me the bottle, and that's when I asked the question of questions. How do you get the fox to pee in the bottle? By chance, it was one of those moments when nobody else was speaking. I swear, there wasn't another sound in the entire store. So everybody heard my question, and everybody turned to look at me. Now, if you've ever been the only white person in a sea of black faces, the only man in a lingerie shop, the only short person in a room full of giants, if you've ever been any of those things, perhaps you'll understand how I felt in that moment. Hamlin and I were the only dark-skinned, non-fishing, non-hunting, non-middle-aged people in that entire store. Worse, I was the only woman in a store full of men buying stuff so they could go off into the wild to do manly things. The shopkeeper's eyes opened wide. "Excuse me, ma'am?" I could feel my husband staring at me. I could hear him begging me to spare him and me further humiliation. Hamlin was now a TV news anchor for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Wherever he went, people inevitably recognized him. But he was a reserved man, an introvert, so he tried to keep a low profile when out in public. I knew that my question was slightly indelicate, but we were in a hunting store after all, and hunting is not a delicate thing. I was not going to back down. My voice was firm, perhaps even a little louder than before. I asked, "How do you get the fox to pee in the bottle?" Time stopped.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Cynthia. We've been talking with Cynthia Reyes and Hamlin Grange, and now we'll take a short break.